The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, the Detroit Lions came to play on Monday Night Football. Man, that game was close at first between the Lions and the Ravens, but the Lions never let loose their grip. Basically, from drive one, they did not let up. Offensively, they looked fantastic, but defensively is really where they took care of business, and that's how they ended up getting the win. So the final score ended up being Detroit 38-30 over the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. I mean, just the whole pregame, they were talking up how Lamar Jackson hasn't really lost to a lot of NFC teams. The last time the Lions came here, they got their asses beat, blah, 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 blah. Well, that's why all that shit doesn't matter, because this is a whole different game. And Detroit just came in there and went in with their typical mindset. And I got to say, this is what I've liked about this Detroit Lions team over the last few seasons, is that they just go in there and give no fucks. They go in and play their game. They have their game plan, and it never changes. And it doesn't matter if they're up, if they're down. They just don't give a fuck. It doesn't matter who they play. They are just going in. And the thing is now they're all completely healthy. Now, of course, that's going to change at some point, because every single team is going to have the injuries pile up as they do every game. But right now, the Lions look damn good, and they beat a damn good Ravens team. Because even though the Ravens fell short, I mean, that they're still a damn good team as well. And but one thing is Derrick Henry and his fumbles. Is that going to be an issue for the rest of the season? Because he's not normally a fumbler, but these first three games, he has had a fumble, and two of them have been game-changing fumbles. So we'll see what happens with him the rest of the season. But turning to the Detroit side of things, they had 7 sacks on Lamar Jackson. 7 sacks. Nobody gets that many sacks on Lamar Jackson, because, hell, even though they got 7 sacks, he still had a typical Lamar Jackson play where he's running around, and then boom, has a first down. And it's just like, you're like, dude, you should have lost 20 yards, but you gained 25. It's just crazy. But still, Detroit sacked him 7 times, and that was the difference, really, in this game, other than the Derrick Henry fumble. But, hell, they were playing from behind at that point, and part of the reason why is because they were able to contain Lamar Jackson, and that's what you have to do. Gibbs and Montgomery both had 2 touchdowns apiece, so they had 4 touchdowns when you think about on the ground. But then Jared Goff, super efficient game, 20 for 28, 202 yards, and a touchdown. And this Detroit Lions team walked right into Baltimore, took that win, and gave zero fucks doing it. So let's get right into the top 10 NFL power rankings and see where we're at now. So beginning with number one, it remains number one, because to me, they haven't fallen off. I don't think there's a reason to put anybody above them just yet. You could make a case for number two, but since I started with this team at number one, I'm going to keep them at number one until something major happens. So it's the Buffalo Bills, 3-0 on the season. They've played great in every single game so far. They look fantastic on the offensive side of the ball, as well as the defensive side. But I mean, Josh Allen already has 755 yards on the season, 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, which is what you love to hear. Cook, he is going off this season. It feels like every single game he's finding the open lanes, and he's just cracking off big chunk yardage plays too. It's not just like he's getting 3 or 4 yards here and there. He's like getting like 10, 15 yards here and there. And so far in the season, he's got 284 yards and 4 touchdowns. So they're having zero issues scoring on the offensive side of the ball. And then you turn to Joey Bosa, who was their offseason pickup. He's got 3 forced fumbles on the season already. So defensively, he's making an impact, but defensively, they're really taking care of business. And I just kind of feel like they're, like I said, there's no reason to take this team out of the number one spot, even though number two, you could really make a big case. So let's go ahead and get a number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings. That is the Philadelphia Eagles. Overall record of 3-0. And it's just with this team, they are exactly what they were last year. they are boring as fuck. When you watch them, you're like, oh, this team's boring. They don't have any spark. They don't really do much. And then all of a sudden, there they go. They get the win, and you're like, well, there they are. And the thing about the Eagles, though, is they are a rough, push-you-around team on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball. I mean, the tush-push, that's rough, push-you-around on the offensive line, but also when you look at them on the defensive line and blocking that kick, the two kicks last week to get the win. But when you watched them, they were really crowding the line and making their presence known because they knew at some point they were going to get the block, and they ended up getting two. So that's just kind of what this team is. They just keep on grinding. It doesn't matter how far behind they are, and they are the defending Super Bowl champs. And so you can make a case to put them at number one, but since I already had Buffalo at number one, I don't think you can – I can take them back, but I mean, real talk. Philadelphia is just as good as they were last year, if not better. And even though they have a boring-ass style of play, they still kick you around, they still kick your ass, and they still keep winning. So there they are, the stupid-ass Eagles. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Los Angeles Chargers, overall record of 3-0. And dare I say it, the Chargers might actually be for real this year, guys. They've already been pushed to the brink in certain games, and they've held on, and they've got the win, and they haven't shit the bed yet. And that's just like anti-Charger. That's not what they're known for. They are always known for shitting the bed, and so far, they have yet to do that. Justin Herbert having a phenomenal year, 860 yards and 6 touchdowns, and I think only one interception. I didn't write down how many interceptions, but I think it's just one. Could be zero, but I'm pretty sure it's only one. Regardless, the dude's balling. But Quentin Johnston, that's his receiver, and he's been going off himself, 239 yards and 3 touchdowns. And this is just it's a very Herbert-led offense. It's kind of looking like the Bills. The Bills are pretty much all Josh Allen. Well, it kind of feels like the Chargers are leaning this way as well because they do have a solid defense, but I wouldn't put them as top-tier defense. And then really, as far as weapons go, Herbert doesn't have a lot of weapons. Which is why Johnston is actually shining in this offense because there really isn't any other standout. And then you turn to the running back position. It's very iffy there. So the offensive line, not that great either. I mean, it's good, but it's not as good as it can be. But hey, Chargers 3-0, and they actually are not chargering up as they usually do. Then at number four in my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, overall record of 3-0, and this team is just Baker motherfucking Mayfield. Dude has already had 3 comeback wins in 3 games this season. His team has already been down, and he's already had to come back, and he does it with ice in his veins. He gives zero fucks when he walks out there, and he's ready to battle every single motherfucking time, and I'm here for it. He's got 615 yards passing and 6 touchdowns on the season. And he's had to get the ball to numerous different guys because there's been nothing but injuries at the receiver position, beginning with Godwin to start the season. Now Mike Evans looks like he's going to miss at least a couple of games here. So he's had to find the rookies and hand the ball off to Rashad White, who's actually, you know, a pretty solid running back. But you also look at it, this defense is nothing to fuck with. As a matter of fact, I'd say they're pretty stout. They know how to turn over the ball. They know how to get in your face, and they know how to get in the backfield, and I kind of feel like that's what's going to keep them in games is that defense. And then, of course, you got Baker Mayfield, and it's like if he's within scoring range, if he can tie the game up or win the game on a game-winning drive, I feel like every time that dude's coming out there and going to do it. So I've got the Tampa Bay Bucks at 4. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Green Bay Packers, overall record of 2-1, and Jordan Love is having a phenomenal season, 663 yards and 5 touchdowns, and he's lighting it up, getting the job done to different receivers every single game as well. But he also has Josh Jacobs in the backfield, which helps. But this defense, they get in the backfield. They've already got 10 sacks on the season, so they're making waves on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball, even though they lost to the Browns. But come on, they weren't going undefeated. They were going to have some type of loss, and that was probably a wake-up call for them, especially this early on in the season. Then at number six on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Detroit Lions, overall record of 2-1-1. And this team just looks like they are back on course. They had that terrible loss to the Packers week one, which is why I had them behind the Packers, because the Packers not only beat them, but kicked their ass. So I had to keep the Packers up above them since they have the same record. But Detroit is obviously going to continue to do what they've done the last couple of seasons, and that's just dominate on the offensive side of the ball. They've got a great two-headed monster at the running back position. They've got a really solid, competent quarterback in Jared Goff, who just he doesn't shy away from the limelight. He always shows up, and even if he's got like five interceptions in the game, he's still going to be chucking the ball and could still potentially get you that win. They have a lot of offensive weapons, but then you turn to the defense, and they got Hutchinson back, and even though he hasn't been what he was last year, I guess, when he started off the season just as a monster, I'm sure he's going to, as the season goes on, probably turn back into that beast. And even if he doesn't, so what? This team defensively is very crazy. I mean, they've already got 11 sacks on the season. And then on the offensive side of the ball, Goff, 761 yards and 7 touchdowns already. And overall, as an offense, they've got 13 touchdowns on the season. So they really just are a very balanced attack. And they just give zero fucks, no matter how far they're down, no matter who they're playing, no matter where they're playing. They don't care. They know who they are, and that's who they are. Then at number seven on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Washington Commanders, overall record of 2-1. And this team, they're just playing great complementary football. I mean, it kind of feels like every guy is stepping up on the team. I mean, hell, Daniels didn't play in this last game. Well, Marcus Mariota, who hasn't started a game in like 500 years, he comes out of nowhere and has a solid game. Their receivers are going off. They don't have that deep of a running game, but their ground attack, not bad at all. And then their defense, I wouldn't call them the best defense in the league, but they're all over. You know it's a Dan Quinn defense, and I have nothing but good things to say about a Dan Quinn defense. But this team just plays great complementary football, and I still have questions about them because I don't really know what their identity is yet. And then, of course, with Jaden Daniels being out this past game, you kind of want him to work with his players, but hey, they played great in his absence, and I just feel like this is a really solid team. Then number eight on my top 10 NFL power rankings is the Minnesota Vikings, overall record of 2-1, and it doesn't matter who the quarterback is with Kevin O'Connell as the coach, and that's been proven since the day he took over as coach. I mean, I think he's had, like, at this point, 7, 8, 9 even quarterbacks that he's had starting at the quarterback position at some point, and it feels like none of them have an issue. He just is somehow able to make the quarterback position seem, I don't know if you want to say seem easy, or if he just makes a great game plan around them, or just knows how to really, I don't know what he does, but he does a great job with whoever is at quarterback. He could probably turn Nobody Magoo, who we've never even heard of, a third stringer on the Jacksonville Jaguars, he could probably turn that person into a solid quarterback, because so far, nobody has failed in a Kevin O'Connell offense so far at quarterback. And I feel like that's why they weren't bothered by getting rid of Sam Darnold and Kirk Cousins, because O'Connell's very confident in his play calling abilities and kind of what he's doing, obviously, at the quarterback position. But you got to say, even though there's a lot of explosion on this offense, it is the defense that it is with the Minnesota Vikings. This is the Purple People Eaters. They are holding it down. I mean, they were a force last year. I think they're even better this year. I mean, they already got a ton of turnovers. They've already got a ton of sacks. And this is why I think they're playing so well. I mean, offensively, they're doing things. But defensively, they are doing things. And they keep that up. They are going to keep on winning. Then at number nine on my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Indianapolis Colts, overall record of 3-0, and got to say, this is probably the biggest surprise so far. Who knows? They might be that one fake team that comes right out the gate, has a solid like first 7-8 games, and then just falls off the second half of the season, or they just keep it moving, because got to say, they are in a terrible division. I mean, they've got the Jaguars, who are, you never know. You got the Texans, who are garbage right now, at least. I mean, they're 0-3. Who's the other team? Fuck. Colts? Jags? Oh, that's why I forgot. It's the Titans, who are probably the worst team in the league, at least one of the worst teams in the league. So I feel like if Indiana just keeps on winning, it doesn't really matter, because everybody else in the division's probably going to be terrible compared to them, especially if they get out. Let's just say they go like 5-1 here in the first like six games. It's like that's going to be pretty difficult for a team to come back, like the Texans, and come back and overtake that if the Indianapolis Colts are able to do what they're able to do. Daniel Jones has had quite the resurgence here. Right now, his season, he's got 816 passing yards and three touchdowns. But it's all about Jonathan Taylor, in my opinion. When this dude is healthy, he is one of the best running backs in the game. And I think a lot of people forget about him because he plays for the Colts. But dude has already got 338 yards and three touchdowns on the ground. But he's also got a couple of touchdowns in the air as well. So he's having a phenomenal year. And if he's able to stay healthy, I feel like this is a Colts team that should definitely win their division, just because it's a terrible division. If they get this nice cushion between them and the rest of the teams, they should be fine, even if they fall off in the second half. And also, their defense is looking real stout as well. So offensively, just overall, they've got 10 touchdowns completely. So right now, playing very, very well. And like I said, if they keep on winning, and these other teams in their division keep on losing or just on their heels, all these wins, even if they fall off, they're going to help in the end. And then rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings this week, even though they lost, I've got the Baltimore Ravens on here. They're 1-2 on the season. You know, they're still a stacked-ass team. They've had to start the season off against a good team in the Bills and then another good team in the Detroit Lions. So it's like you start the season off with two top-dog teams. Of course, there's a good chance you're going to be 1-2 when you start the season. But to me, that doesn't change anything about this team. Lamar Jackson, still one of the top quarterbacks in the league. Even though he's got the fumbles right now, I'm still always going to trust Derrick Henry every single time. Doesn't matter what they do. I mean, offensively, they literally lead the league in touchdowns. They've got 14 touchdowns on the season. So they are still lighting people up. They are having zero issues scoring. This offensive line is stout. Mark Andrews is healthy, so they've got him. They've got Zay Flowers. They've got, Hopkins. Old guy Hopkins. He's always reliable, though. So they've got so many guys on offense. And then defensively, now they did get exposed on defense in this last game, but they also were missing their front guy, Madubuike. So he was injured in that game. So it might look different with Madubuike in there, but still, even though they've got the two losses on the season, I still think they're better than a lot of the other teams that might have a few more wins than them. All right, so turning to our Thursday night football matchup this week, it's a divisional matchup between the Seattle Seahawks at the Arizona Cardinals. Right now, the Cardinals are a 1.5-point favorite, and I kind of feel like both of these teams are very similar. Neither team is really a standout or really that good, in my opinion. I don't really think either team's going to light anybody up, even though Seattle did light up last week. I don't think they're going to be really a playoff-bound team, if you will. They do have a stout defense, though. I will say their defense is one of the best in the league, and nobody's really talking about them, but they are a stout defense. But I just kind of feel like these are two very similar teams. They're two division rivals, so it's going to be a close game, in my opinion. And I kind of feel like this is going to be an offensive game. I'm just leaning towards the home team in this one. I feel like they'll probably split their matchups in the season since they face off against each other twice. So I'm leaning towards Arizona in this one in a close matchup, 28-26. All right, moving on to the college football AP Top 10. We actually had some movement this week, and we've got some excellent matchups coming up on Saturday. So let's get right into it. Number one remains Ohio State because they're coming off of a bye week. So they are 3-0, so no movement there. But moving up, and I told you to watch out for this team. I told you to watch out for this team because the more they play, the more I see them winning the national championship. Moving up to number two this week, the Miami Hurricanes. 4-0 on the season. They have a bye week this week, but next week they play FSU, who is ranked number 8 this week. So it should be a great battle next week if FSU wins and still remains still remains ranked, which I think they will because I can't remember who they play, but they play a garbage team, I believe. So it should be a good game next week. But I'm telling you, Miami, look out for Miami. I feel like this team, they've been on the precipice. And just offensively, they are murdering folks. So we'll see what's going on with Miami. But then moving up to number two, not shocked at all. Holding down the number three spot, Penn State, 3-0 on the season. And they've got a big matchup this week against number six, Oregon. So we'll see how that matchup goes because this is pretty much the first legit matchup for both teams on the season, but especially Oregon. Oregon actually had to, they've had some work to move up in the ranks throughout this entire season because they really haven't played a really, they haven't played a good team at all. They've just played garbage cans for the most part. So this will be their first test, and it's basically Penn State's first test as well. Then falling to number four, we have LSU at 4-0, and they've got a big game this week. They will be at number 13 Ole Miss this week, who obliterated their opponent last week. So this should be a good matchup between LSU and Ole Miss. Then at number five, we have Georgia. They're 3-0, and they will be playing against number 17 Alabama this week. So that's always a nice matchup. Even though Alabama is not what they used to be, they're still ranked, and they're still Alabama. Georgia better not overlook them. Then at number six, we have Oregon, 4-0 on the season. Like I said, they will be at number three Penn State this weekend. Moving up big this week to number seven, the Oklahoma Sooners, who are 4-0 on the season. They moved up four spots because they really have been lighting it up on the offensive side of the ball. The unfortunate thing for them, though, is their quarterback, who at this point is one of the Heisman Trophy favorites. I mean, I know it's very early on in the season, but they still do rankings, and he's basically the top guy. Unfortunately, he's injured, and it could be for the rest of the season. It's definitely going to be for a decent amount of time, so we'll see if they're able to maintain the high-paced offense that they've been doing this year. But so far, Oklahoma's been actually, I hate saying it, outperforming my Texas Longhorns. And it should be a good matchup once we hit the Red River rivalry here in a few weeks. Then at number eight, we have Florida State, who are 3-0 in the season. Like I said, they have just a mid-tier matchup this week, but next week they will be against the Miami Hurricanes. Then at number nine, a team that I think a lot of people are overlooking, and I hate talking about this team just as much as I hate talking about the Oklahoma Sooners, and that is Texas A&M. They are 3-0 on the season. They've had some nice wins, one of them being over against Notre Dame, but I feel like a lot of these SEC teams are kind of overlooking A&M. And you need to stop doing that. And then rounding out the AP Top 10 in college football this week, my Texas Longhorns, 3-1 on the season, finally put together a really solid game this week. Hopefully it's a stepping stone to keep it moving, although I'm not really concerned about them because they should still make the playoff, and that's all you need to do is make the college football playoff. But we still have a lot of ways to go. But rounding out the AP Top 10 this week, my Texas Longhorns. So hook 'em horns, motherfucker. Hook 'em horns. Hook 'em horns. All right, y'all. Enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.